will come up and share his experience and strength and hope with us.
Hi, my name is Michael. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for chairing the meeting. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I have a sponsor. I help other alcoholics. I have a home group. I participate in the business meetings in my home group. My sobriety date is March 17th, 2022. And thankful to be here, Chair. So, I grew up in basically a great environment. Had everything you could ask for as a kid. Good parents, good education, all that. And there's something about me that I like to self-destruct that. And somehow I would just keep on getting away with it and just, you know, slip through the cracks on some of these things. And, you know, I thank God, but one day, I got arrested, felony DUI arrest. I was asleep at the wheel on the corner of Gandhi and Dal Mabry. It's a pretty busy intersection. And I thank God that happened because I always knew that I drank a little bit differently. You know, absolute blackout. And, you know, I'm a little hard-headed, so I needed this. You know, I thank God that, you know, those people saved my life that night. You know, changed my way of thinking and got my tail into an AA meeting. Got a sponsor first meeting. I was the guy that didn't know it. I didn't know anything about AA. I stood up and raised my hand and said, "Hi, I'm Michael. I'm an alcoholic." My sponsor looked over and he said, "Okay, yeah, that guy, I'm going to crack him." And I thank God for that also. I had really messed up my life. And first thing he said to me was, "You're going to die. You know that?" Okay. And then he said, I'm not going to curse. "You don't know anything. If you think you know something, you're probably wrong." So, okay. And he said, next thing he said was, "If it's inconvenient, you should probably do it." And because that's how I lived my life. I did what was convenient. And I got away with what I could. Because I had a good education, or, you know, I had a good family. You know, I was arrested when I was 16, got out of that. Parents dropped me off at college within 24 hours. Felony offense, in jail. Got out of that. This last one, kind of woke up. Ain't getting out of that one. So, my sponsor saying that to me, you know, I'm nodding my head like, yes, yes. But I didn't know what I really had. And, you know, right after that, my grand sponsor pulled me aside. He said, "Hey, man, you drink today?" And I'm like, "Oh, man, he caught me. How'd he know?" "Yeah, a couple highlights, yeah." He said, "Well, look, you're going to die." Yeah, he just told me that. And, you know, this man does a lot in the program, and he's you know, my fellowship works the program real well. And reaches in the car, hands me this book, and he says, "Start reading this book, and you do what he says." Pointing to my sponsor. And It took a little while, but then I started to actually realize, like, okay, I am going to die. And then everything that I had tried to manage had gone completely haywire, and it was a dumpster fire. And it started to kind of add up, just those three things that was told to me, you know, right when I met my sponsor. And when that started to kind of click, I realized, okay, I belong here. But I still didn't understand AA and like how to do it. Because I like to cheat my way around things and maneuver through the quickest route. So my sponsor says, oh yeah, Friday we're going to get dinner, and then we're going to a meeting, and then Saturday we'll go to dinner and then go to a meeting. I'm like, oh, okay, is that like every couple weeks? I say, no, every week. That's what we do. I'm like, oh, what did I sign up for? But that honestly changed my life, because it introduced me into a fellowship of people that care about me. Because, I mean, I didn't care about myself. And to see genuine love and people caring about you and having people to go to and, you know, bounce ideas off of, I mean, that made me feel good for the first time. I didn't feel good about anything. I didn't feel much. Fellowship changed my life, and a big part of our fellowship is really focused on the new guy. Like, you know, remember that day I was the new guy, and finding the new guy, talking to the new guy, asking him how his day was, you know, because I see myself in that new guy, and I couldn't even help myself before. I couldn't help anyone. I was useless. And you know, even if I can get a new guy to crack a smile, put my number in his phone, it makes me feel better, right? I'm starting to have feelings. I'm starting to be proud of myself for doing simple tasks. And so I continue to do what my sponsor says and stick with my fellowship, because now I have real friends that care about me. I have a sponsor who tells me what to do, because I still don't know what I'm doing. But, you know, I keep praying and meditating and trying, and it's given me an ability to slow down. If I take interest in someone else, already means I've slowed down enough to think about someone else. But then genuinely taking an interest in someone and getting to know them, you know, different shapes and sizes, whatever, but getting to know someone, and sometimes you get a call and, you know, you get to help someone. And I think that's been the most eye-opening thing besides the fellowship is helping another alcoholic. Because in the end, I'm a drunk. I'm prone to drinking. I'm gonna drink. The only way that I'm gonna stop that is by helping someone and making myself feel okay. Because if I start not feeling okay, I'm gonna pick up the bottle and I'm gonna drink. And that means I'm gonna die. Because to drink is to die, and I'm telling you, I love everything that AA has done for me. It's really, really cool being here. I thank you for allowing me to speak, and you know, I hope all you get something out of this. But I just look forward to meeting the new guy outside the meeting tonight. So, thank you.
Thank you, Michael. And our group has asked Eloy to be our main speaker tonight. Eloy. Eloy, alcoholic. Hey, I'd like to welcome everybody that's here tonight. And thank you for asking me to speak. My sobriety date is September 24th, 2021. And I have a sponsor. I sponsor others. I have a home group. And I have some commitments towards that home group. And I definitely love to help others stay sober. You know, every time I think of my sobriety date, I always think of the day before, you know, and it was a bad experience. Because I remember waking up and I was detained, and in Hillsborough County, if they don't feel like you're mentally right, they strap you in a suit, you know, and take all your clothes and put you in a cell by yourself, man, and it's pretty pathetic, you know. And I remember waking up in there, and just remember going to the Winn-Dixie and grabbing a bottle of 101 Wild Turkey and thinking everything was going to be all right, you know. But no, I woke up in jail and asking, what am I in here for? And everything that I was already taught when I had previously went into AA just ran through my mind. And that's when I kind of recognized the powerlessness that they talk about so much in the rooms. But before all that, my experience with alcohol, I was pretty young. I'm Dominican. My mother, she was born in Dominican Republic. And my father, he's Venezuelan. And so I've traveled outside of the state. And my mom, she wanted some vacation from the kids. So she sends me and my sisters, I got two siblings, she sends me and my sisters over to Dominican Republic. And they like to party out there on Fridays and Saturdays. And I'm an American kid out there. And so I feel like I'm pretty popular, which is something that I didn't have, you know, in my life. So I was like, yeah, let's get to know people. And I had a lot of attention. And my cousin had invited me to a party, you know, and I was just real stiff, you know, kind of how I feel right now, you know. And man, you know, I remember it was an apartment complex and they had like three stories, and there was just a ton of people there. I've never went to a party like this. You know, I was pretty young, but I think I was about 14, I was around that age, 14 or 16. But I remember walking up to this apartment with my cousins and just a line of people. You know how you go up the stairs, there's just people all the way, you know, all the way to the top, and you can hear the music and the lights. And people were just hanging out, man. And I get there and I'm just a wallflower. You know, I'm just stuck in the, you know, I couldn't do anything, man. Just was real stiff. And my cousin was like, yo, man, that girl's asking about you, man. Go dance with her. And I would try to dance. And they had like some salsa music playing or some merengue playing. And I just couldn't dance. You know, I remember bumping into her knees. And she was like, all right, you know. It's just... So I tried with another one. And it was just the most awkwardest thing, you know. So I went right back to my comfort zone, the wall, and stood there and was completely isolated from everybody. And that was the first night, man. It was extremely uncomfortable. I didn't want to do it again. And I remember out there, they don't really have an age limit for alcohol. And my cousins was like, hey, man, you need a drink, man. You know, so we're going to get you a drink, man. And they have Cerveza Presidente. And they just have like a little corner store where like it's somebody's porch and they sell beer and ice cream and hot dogs out of there. And I had got a beer, man. And that wasn't my first beer, but that was the first time I had felt the effects from alcohol. And I had drank it and just had a fun time riding a bike, and it was nothing. Then we went to another party because it was like an everyday thing. They would party out there. And I had drank at the party, man, and you know, the music changed. You know, my shoulders dropped, and I didn't really care anymore. And my knees didn't bump into her knees, and I felt like, hey, I'm dancing, you know. And so that's when I liked alcohol. I remember drinking almost every night, but I didn't really get, you know, like blivered, like just totally wasted. You know, I just got a real good buzz, and then that was it. Came back to the States, didn't really drink again. You know, I didn't really see that I had a problem there. But then I had noticed that I was getting in trouble a lot in school. You know, so I just wanted that attention a lot, which was a problem for me. And then, you know, I never really drank again, man. And then when I got a little bit older, I wanted that ease and comfort that comes from alcohol. you know, and I always had that tension, and so I used alcohol to kind of relieve myself and take some stress off. And you know, it wasn't a problem, man. And I remember it becoming a problem when there was this one time I hung out with a guy at work, and he decided to take me to the club, you know. And so I'm like, all right, let's go to the club, man, you know. And now I got drunk, you know, where I blacked out, couldn't remember anything. But I have, like, you know how you, when you get that blackout and you just have flashbacks that make you want to cry? You're like, what did I do? That was me, you know. And that was kind of my first blackout, man. And that continued to happen. But there wasn't really too much repercussions, man, until I started to get locked up every year, you know. And that pattern started. And, you know, it was hard to escape that, man. I couldn't find anything to get me away from that, man. I would just get this courage, you know. I always wanted to get that tension off me. And when I would drink, I'd always pass that limit to where I'm fighting law enforcement because I want to be tougher than the law, you know. And I'm trying to be this person that I wasn't, you know. I was a coward, you know, and I didn't know how to face my fears, you know. And so I used alcohol to help me through that, you know. And you know, there's no clock in here, you know. I know that you guys put up a sign there. Okay, cool, awesome. So yeah, man, alcohol was a problem, and I just saw that I needed to drink, you know, because I didn't know how to face my fears, like I had already mentioned, you know. And I didn't care about going to jail. I didn't really care about losing relationships that much. You know, the biggest thing that was a big change for me was like losing a career, you know, because I always felt like I'm not that bad of an alcoholic until I lose something that pays really well, you know. I definitely had an addiction to money, and I felt like that helped everything in my life, you know. That was another master of mine, was money, you know. I was a slave to it. And, you know, I remember I had an experience in church. You know, I am a believer that there's a God that loves us and wants to help us, you know. And so when I noticed that I had a problem, I ran to the church. I ran to the church, and I got really involved in church. And you know, it helped. It helped for about 3 years, you know. But what I realized after I met my sponsor is I never treated my alcoholism. It was still there. And the selfishness and self-centeredness that comes with it, you know, was still there. So after making some mistakes in church that was extremely embarrassing, I had all these fears come up, you know, again. And that was just my alcoholism, you know, showing up again. And I didn't know how to deal with those fears, you know. So I tried to hide, just like when I first went to the parties, being a wallflower, you know. I tried to hide from the people that loved me in church and that were helping me. You know, I was embarrassed, and I just said, oh, you know, I can't go there. I'm a sinner, and everyone's looking at me like I'm garbage is how I felt, you know. But so I stopped going to church regularly, and then I found my old friend alcohol again, and that ease and comfort that comes with the drink was there for me, and I fell in love with it again. But I remembered. I said, you know, I don't have to drink so much, just a little, you know, because I'll do some dumb stuff when I get drunk. But you know, I found out that I had no control over that. You know, as soon as I had that first drink, it was just going that way. You know, it was going to happen. All the consequences that come with drinking was going to come. But you couldn't tell me that, you know, and I didn't see that at the moment, or you know, at the time. So I introduced alcohol back into my life, and I was drinking regularly. You know, I wouldn't pass the beer. You know, I would just get a beer. Oh, I'm going to go hang out with these guys. I feel uncomfortable. Let me go to the store and grab a beer first. And I would do that, and I'd feel the ease, and I'd go hang out. All right, cool, man. You know, I'd hang out with my buddies, and I could forget that they all looked at me as a sinner, you know. Yeah, but then, you know, that only worked for so much, you know, because when you drink, you become more self-centered and egotistical, and it shows. You know, I started to treat my friends, you know, like, you know, less than, and I started to act like I was more than. And that hurts, you know, that would hurt me if I was getting treated that way. And so, you know, I found myself again not wanting to be around them and trying to run away, you know, from the problems that I was causing myself, you know. So, I did get a really good job, and I started to make some decent money. And so I felt like all my problems were gone, you know, and alcohol was just soothing, you know, everything else, you know. But my life wasn't going well, you know. Deep down inside, I felt like garbage, you know. I never cleaned the street. I never rightened my wrongs, you know. So that just hung over me, you know. And it was just like a cloud, a black cloud. And I just felt like everybody knew, every person that I met, they're like, oh, that guy right there, he's a sinner, you know. So, you know, the good thing was is that, you know, I do believe in a higher power. I do believe that there's something out there greater than me that cares about me, you know. And I feel like somebody was praying for me, whether it was my mother or my father. I just feel like, and so I feel like my higher power brings people into my life that kind of shine some light on something to kind of get me on the right path. And if I'm looking, you know, I'll see it, you know. And where I was working at, I had met a guy that kind of saw what I was doing to myself. And he said some words to me that I knew were true, because I had already experienced a life with alcohol that would cause losing the mother of my children, you know, being hated by people, going to jail, you know, but not losing the job. And he said something to me. He said, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to lose everything that you have. And I knew that was true. Just like Michael was talking about, I was going to die, you know. And man, that hit home. That hit something so deep. And I didn't know what to do, you know. But I have my friend alcohol, so I just drank that fear away. I just went home and said, I'm probably going to lose it all, but let me have a few drinks, and I didn't care anymore, you know. And that was what I loved about alcohol. I could do something terrible, you know, and instead of living with the regret, you know, I would drink that away, and I could do that terrible thing again tomorrow, and I could drink it away, and then, you know, that always helped out. You know, because I could never tell myself the truth, you know. And I learned that when I worked in the fourth step, is that I could never blame myself, you know. I remember always blaming my mother and my father for not speaking well English. And so, it's their fault. I don't talk well. Now I don't have no friends, you know. And even being an adult, when I could correct that, I still blame them. You know, so when my coworker told me that, you know, I said, well, I'm gonna stop drinking, because he's right, you know. So, but that's okay. That's easy to do. I'm just gonna quit drinking, and that's it. And with a couple of hours, I found myself drunk again. You know, I was supposed to quit drinking. You know, and I wasn't like going out to parties, you know, because life wasn't fun anymore, you know. After kind of seeing myself a little bit, and then blaming everybody for it, you know, life wasn't fun anymore. And so I found myself isolated, drinking, you know, because I kind of felt like if I stay away from people, maybe I won't get in trouble. But that was like impossible, because I would drink, and then I would get courage, and I'd say, man, let's go drive, you know. And then I'd jump in the car, and then I'd put on my trap rap, and then that makes me feel like I'm a gangster, you know. And then I find myself, you know, in Ybor City fighting a cop, and I'm in jail, you know. And then you get out and you ask for your job back, and they're kind. They're like, man, poor guy, let's take him back. And, you know, and then I would drink all that away. I'd say, well, you know. And so it was a terrible cycle, man, that I couldn't get out of. And I remember I would drink to get the blackout every night. You know, it got to that point. And as I was working with that guy, man, I remember one day he was talking about a spiritual program. He was talking about this AA deal. And I had three DUIs. I had two DUIs at this time. And I had been to AA before. You know, I came to the rooms of AA, and man, I remember being in these rooms, and I did it for about a year, and I didn't even know there was 12 steps. Like, I sat in these rooms, and I didn't hear anything, you know, and when I met him, he started telling me about the steps, and I'm like, oh, I've been to AA, what steps? What do you mean, what steps are there? What are you? Just clueless, you know, and you know what, I understand why, you know, because when I was in the rooms the first time, I was so self-centered and stuck in all my problems that I didn't hear anybody's stories or shares or experience, because I was just, you know, it had nothing to do with me. You know, your experience and what you were going through, that has nothing to do with my problems and this DUI. And as soon as I'm finished with this, you know, I'll be able to drink again, you know. So I totally shut myself off to the meetings here, you know. And that was terrible, you know, because I could have had the solution a long time ago. You know, I didn't have to, you know, wait until I was 37 to you know, apply the principles in my life. You know, but, you know, I remember, I don't know what happened when I blacked out. You know, I have no idea who I was when I blacked out. I was always told that I was a terrible person, just the worst. But I never saw that person, you know. And what's crazy is now that I'm sober, and I hang out with people that drink. You know, I don't go to the bars with them or anything, but there's people in my family that get intoxicated, you know, and I have no idea if they black out or not, but man, they get, you know, slurred, and they're just so uncomfortable and difficult to be with. They repeat the same thing, and you're like, yo, when are we getting out of here? This guy is the worst, you know. But I you know, when I was drinking, I was only around drunks intoxicated, so it was great, you know. But when you're sober and you're around some people that really get, you know, you're like, man, the same story again, dude, wow, you know. And you can barely hear when they talk or understand, you know. And so I started to see that, man, this is what I was like. Oh man, it had to be terrible to deal with me, you know. And plus, I would be belligerent. You know, I would find all your flaws just to make myself feel better, you know. And I never had the courage to do that when I was sober. But when I was intoxicated, oh, I'm gonna rip you a new one, you know. And it was horrible for the people in my relationships. The people that were closest to me was the ones that I hurt the most. You know, my father, my girlfriend. You know, they would just, you know, tell them everything. You know, oh, you're garbage, man. You'll never find anybody better. Just any way to make myself feel better. You know, but I remember being blacked out, and I texted this guy, hey man, I'm interested in the steps. You know, I had no idea what they were, but I was interested in them, you know, because I wanted a solution, but I didn't have the courage to ask somebody to help me. So in this blackout, I actually asked this guy, yo, when is this meeting, you know, and how can I do these steps? And then I woke up the next day, totally forgot that, went to work, and I think it was a Friday. Yeah, it was a Friday. And the guy says, hey man, are we going to that meeting tonight? Man, I'm not going to no meeting. What are you talking about, man? I think it was like 5 o'clock, and all I was thinking about was getting that drink, you know, so that I could feel ease and comfort. And he said, no, man, you texted me last night, man, that you wanted to go to the meetings. What are you going to do? I said, hold on, man. I had to go over and check my phone. And the truth was, I texted him, and so I was like, what? I didn't even remember that. And I was like, this is horrible, man. Okay, yeah, man, I'll go to the meetings with you. And you know, I went to AA, you know. And you know what was funny, man, is AA was never my idea. You know, in fact, I had a bad judgment of AA. You know, and I've heard so many people say the same thing, man. I just thought that it was like old people, you know, because why would any young people go to AA? It's got to be boring, and you know. And when I went, man, I went to YANA. It was the first meeting that I went to. I get, you know, it was crazy as I was high. You know, I felt like it was going to be the last time that I smoked. So I said, you know what, let me go ahead and smoke before I go to this meeting. I don't think they'll notice, you know, but, and you know, you think a lot when you're in that, you know, you think a little too much, I would say. And so when I went to the meeting, man, everybody was happy, you know, and I was so afraid. And I was so self-centered, and oh, as soon as I walked in, the sinner's here, you know? And I was just like, man, this, but you know, I felt that same feeling, you know, that that everybody was better than me, and, you know, but I had seen that they were all happy, and I wanted that. You know, I felt like there was something that I said, man, this seems great, man. It was a packed meeting, a lot of people, and I felt like it would be a good place to fellowship with, is how they call it. But I only wanted to socialize. You know, I was like, man, look at all these people here, man. I can learn to be cool, you know, with all these people. And I had got a sponsor, and you know, I didn't realize that I hadn't surrendered yet. I didn't realize how serious the problem of alcohol was. I didn't realize that I was powerless at that moment. But I was like, sure, man, let's give it a try, man. How hard can it be? What do you got to do? And then you find out everything that, you know, comes with sobriety, right? You start to say, oh, these guys go to meetings every day. You hear about the 90 and 90, and you're like, oh, that's you know. But I did it. I did the 90 and 90. And I didn't know that I wasn't fully surrendered. I felt like I was. I was like, yeah, I'm doing the deals at meetings. Whatever my sponsor said, I'm gonna do it. And then I did eight months. And you know, it's crazy because then the first step, it talks about, you know, accepting that we're unmanageable, that our life is unmanageable. You know, and I didn't understand that part. You know, I didn't understand that me managing my life, me making decisions for myself was a bad idea, you know? And I don't know how I didn't see that, because I mean, if you were to look at whoever was making the decisions in my life, you would think they were trying to kill me, right? Like, man, going to jail every year, can't get my kids taken away from me, you know? You would say, what's wrong with this guy, you know? And I couldn't see that. But when I had got that sponsor gave me some instructions one day because I had made a mistake. You know, I went and seen a doctor, and this was a doctor that I knew. This doctor smelled the smell of marijuana on me. And so he was like, oh, this guy's cool, man. Let me show him that I can hook him up and give him some of these cool medications that the rappers talk about or whatever. It was promethazine, codeine, whatever, you know. And so one day I come in and he's like, yo, I can't help you. You just got a headache. You just need to go sleep it off. And I was like, are you sure, doctor? And he was looking at the paper. Oh, I know what you're here for. You know, and he gave me some of that medication that I didn't need. You know, I didn't need this medication, you know. And so I decided that I was going to take it as prescribed. You know, that's what I heard in the meetings, just take it as prescribed. Yeah. But that was me managing my life and me making a decision without even calling my sponsor, which I found out was extremely critical later, because I went back out. You know, I went back out, and that's when it hit me, you know, because what I had did 10 years ago repeated. You know, I was already in a relationship 10 years ago when I had lost my child. The girl was fed up. She left me. I'm in jail. And this whole thing happened again. Not second DUI, third DUI. And I woke up in jail with the turtle suit on, strapped up. You know, and then that's when I realized, hey, man, I'm powerless. What am I going to do? You know, and everything that was in AA that was taught came to mind, and I said, I had realized that I had ran out of options. I said, if I want to stay sober, like, because I've heard of people in these rooms that had 30, 25 years, 15 years plus, and I could not even pass 3 years. It was the longest I had. So I sought out to find the solution. And I called that guy that told me what was going on a long time ago, and I asked him to help me, and he said, well, are you ready to come to a meeting? Oh, I didn't want to. No, I don't want to go to a meeting. Man, that sucks, you know? But I had realized that I was out of options and I didn't know what to do. And so I went to this meeting and I started to go to these meetings even though I didn't like it, man. And you know, it was just awful for a while, you know? And sometimes it could still get like that when I get into that self-centered part of my life, which is you know, it just sucks, man. And that and you know, it rang a bell in our literature when it talks about the self-centeredness. You know, me wanting to be the director, me wanting to run the whole show, not wanting God in my life, me wanting to say I did that. You know, I'm successful because I wanted that. You know, I wanted to wear that, and that was not an option. You know, I found myself following instructions no matter what, with fear behind that. You know, I had said, well, I'm either going to do this AA deal or I'm gonna drink, because that's what I've heard people say, and I believed it. You know, but I didn't believe that I was going to become like the people that I've met in these rooms. Because when I met the people in the rooms, I would hear their stories and I would say, nah, this guy looks too good. There's no way. You know, this guy's too smart. You know, she's too pretty. There's no way that she was, you know, dealing with the same fears that I felt. Their mom's got money, you know, they're great, they're educated. I would think all these things to make them better, you know. And what I didn't realize is that they had grown. You know, they had that spiritual experience, man, and they started to apply themselves in these rooms. They started to grow, and they started to change. And I wasn't there yet, you know. So and then it started to happen to me. You know, I started to do the things that my sponsor said. You know, I started to work the steps, and I started to help other people, man. And when I started to help other people, I started to see the people that wanted to get sober and the ones that didn't. You know, and my sponsor always tells me, don't judge that. Treat everybody like they want to get sober. You know, but I would say, hey, I would meet people, and I would say, hey, man, how are you doing? And at the end of the meeting, I would ask them what meeting they were going to tomorrow. You know, and sometimes I would have fun with it, you know, because I would be like, let me see if this guy's committed, you know, especially a new person. And you know, I could relate. I would see them come in with all that tension, oh, staying by themselves, and I'd say, oh, that guy has got to be new. Hey, how you doing? What's going on, man? Oh, good. Barely want to talk, you know, and I would relate. I was like, man, that's me right there, you know. And I would ask them, I said, hey, man, what meeting are you going to tomorrow? Oh, I don't know, man. I don't think I'm going to go to a meeting tomorrow because I got this and that and that to do. And I'm like, are you an alcoholic, man? You know, and I would see that that moment that they're blind, just like I was. You know, I would see that they had no idea what they had. I would see that they didn't know that their life was in jeopardy. You know, and it was sad. You know, and that's one thing that I liked that my sponsor did, is he had me start working with people right away. He got me starting to help people right away. And that's what he told me to do, man. Just see what meeting he's going to tomorrow. See if he has a sponsor and see if you can help him get to that meeting tomorrow. And just doing that, I started to see, man, that they didn't want to do it. And I didn't want to do it either. But I knew I had no options. And they felt like they had an option. You know, they felt like all I got to do is see a counselor. All I got to do is, you know, and I remember being like that, man. I wanted every other option but AA. I dreaded it. I did not want to be an AA, man. And that's because my perception was faulty. It was wrong. And I didn't know what was good for me. My biggest fear being an AA was the best thing that happened to me. You know, I didn't get better anywhere else. I didn't get better in the church. I didn't get better going to jail. You know, it got worse. I learned so much stuff that was not good. You know, everything that I had did in my life You know, before AA never worked, you know, because I'm an alcoholic and my solution is around alcoholics, you know, and I try to get a solution everywhere else. I wanted to find a solution in cars and money and women and everything but AA. And this is what's been working for me. I've been going to meetings every day, and in the beginning I didn't want to, you know, until I felt that purpose, you know, until I started to hear people's story and related. And I said, man, I am, this is where I belong, you know? And I started to fit in with a group of people, you know, that had the same experience. And we would laugh about the same things, and we would joke about the same things. And when it comes to the spiritual side, the things that I was weak in my spiritual life, they had experienced it also. And that was something that I didn't get from the church. When I would talk to people in church, they would just be like, bro, I'm not going through that. I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But in the rooms, there's a, man, I remember feeling like that yesterday. You know, I would get that in the rooms with people that had a significant amount of sobriety. You know, they would say, oh man, you know, I don't really know. I know that some days are really good and some days are really tough, but I know that I'm sober today, you know, and I'd never had a real big value in my sobriety, you know, and today I do, you know, today I want to be sober, you know, and before I didn't want to, man, I wanted to play, you know, I wanted to hear the music differently and all that comes with alcohol, you know, and, I felt like that was the greatest thing for me. You know, something that didn't give me anything, I felt like was the greatest thing. And the thing that really would help me, I wanted to run away from it. You know, and that's how terrible my train of thought was, my view. You know, the things that would help me being with my family, I wanted to be away from. You know, going to meetings, I wanted to be away from. And that's been the greatest thing that's been happening to me today, man, is coming to these meetings every day and working with another alcoholic, you know, seeing them want to change, seeing them get committed to the rooms, you know, seeing them understand what's going on, and them kind of escaping the grips, you know, the same grip that was on me, you know, that I thought would go away within a year or two. You know, I thought I could work the program for a couple of months and figure out some type of idea and be all right. You know, I thought that I could have that. I would hear so many things that sounded good in their meetings, like play the tape through. You know, I would hear that and be like, yeah, let me just play the tape through. But every time I tried to play the tape through, I would still get drunk, you know? And so it was finding out how powerless I was. It was finding out that no matter what I do, I'm gonna lead myself to a drink is what made me surrender to other people's ideas. It made me surrender to my sponsor's directions, you know, and what my sponsor is showing me what to do is have a relationship with my higher power, you know, and I want my higher power to manage my life, you know, which I have no idea what that's going to look like, you know, but today, you know, I have a higher power, and my higher power works through my sponsor and through my fellowship and through my brothers and sisters in these rooms. You know, I hear a lot of things that I can apply in my life. And I don't want to miss that. You know, I'd rather be in a meeting than go to work today. You know, I just don't like missing AA. You know, I want to be a part of this, you know. And sometimes I still feel separated from it. And I think that that's a normal thing, you know. But yeah, coming to these meetings is a real big eye opener. Every day I learn something. You know, so I'm going to continue to come. You know, I want to encourage everybody to continue to come. You know, if you're new, it gets better. Just keep coming. And that's all for me. So.